Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we come seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, to guide us along the pathway in which you would have each to walk. Father, we need more knowledge and more wisdom, more knowledge of your word and the wisdom to use it. Use each one of us, Father, in a great and mighty way, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, not to lift us up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now, Father, throughout the remainder of this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I got something I want to share with you. And I'm not going to be sharing it all, hopefully. There'll be more of it come Sunday morning. I was supposed to have several more here tonight than what's here that is going to be part of an answer from Almighty God. But I need to talk to them before I get too far in to what I'm going to share with you now. You know, I've been telling you for a long time that you're going to start seeing things different here in this church. You're going to start seeing the gifts of the Spirit at work in the church. Well, most of you know that for the past 2 weeks I've been facing a trial. It hasn't been fun, but it was my fault. It wasn't that I was out here in the sand and stuff that way, but it was something I wasn't doing enough of. And the good Lord let me know that it was His way of getting my attention. He didn't give it to me, but he let me face it and go through. But he also let me know that I wasn't going through it by myself. He was there with me, giving me the strength and all to go. But you're going to see a great change in this ministry. Some that have been kind of interested in this ministry may leave me as this change takes place. You see, the Lord's been spending a lot of time with me, and he's got a route for me, a different route for me to walk. And whatever he calls on me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I've been praying for all of us and for this church. I pray that they will all stay with me. Because with the change that's coming, I'm going to need all the help I can get. Financially plus physical. Body-wise. Because there's a great change coming. There's already been some prophecy that God had me to give in this last little bit of time. It's already come about. I'm going to share one of them with you. I'm not going to use no names. But there was one here that made a promise to God. He didn't keep it. In fact, I haven't seen him back. I told him. He and I have been friends for a long time. And the Lord told me to tell him that if he didn't start keeping his promise that he made here at the church, he was going to lose everything. Man wasn't bad off. 3 months has went by since I talked to him, and he's lost it all. Everything. Family. Work. Everything. Now I've been given another one. For another person. I haven't got to see that one yet. I'm going to try to see that one when I leave here this evening. Because that one may not even want to talk to me. But that one's going to hear what the Lord told me to tell them. Because their blood's not going to be on my hands. So I'm going to share with them what God told me to tell them, and that's between them and him. But things are beginning to really work. And I, like I said, I was hoping that these three that promised me faithful, that they'd be here this evening. Because those three is part of what is going to give me a straight answer to I know assuredly that it is God speaking to me and not just my mind, but it's him. He woke me up this morning at 2:30. Never did let me go back to sleep. Kept talking with me. And he was talking with me through the scripture, bringing it all to my mind. I guess you went through some of that.
But as he's bringing it through my mind and guiding me and leading me along this pathway that hopefully I will be able to share everything Sunday morning with everyone. But as I was telling you, you're going to see a big, big, big change in not only this ministry, but also in me. And there's going to be a lot of men going to like it. I'm going to tell you that right now. I know that because I've been through part of it before. But I'm hoping that most of you that's with me now will stay with me. I'm praying for it, praying about it. But I know what can happen. But there's some things that I need assurances of. Because there's going to be some expense to a lot of the change. And more expense right now than what the church has got. But I do know one thing. When God gives you something to do and you do what he's telling you to do, he'll supply your needs. He'll see that you have what you need. So I'm not worried about that part of it. Right now, one thing I am concerned with and thinking about is whether it will be here at this church or if it's going to be somewhere else. That I'm not sure of right now. That's one thing I'm kind of waiting on, is to know assuredly whether it will be here or whether he's going to move me. I'm hoping it'll be here because what he is telling me and sharing with me right now is really needed here. All right. We're going to get in tonight to Romans chapter 9. If you want to get there with me. Because like I said, I'm hoping to have all of the assurances and answers that I need by Sunday morning to share with everyone that will be here. Okay. Paul, in writing to the Romans here in chapter 9, starting here at verse 1, he says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Verse 3, for I could wish that myself was accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsman according to the flesh. Paul is letting us know that he has a sorrow for the church there because they are his people. They are having a lot of problems. They're being led astray in a lot of ways from these Judaizers that's following Paul around. And he knows that some of them are being led astray by being deceived. And you know, there's an old saying. And that old saying is that nothing is happening today that hasn't happened before. And when you really get into the Word of God, we're finding that out to be so. Because our churches today are in as bad a shape as what Paul was worried about here. And a lot of them, even in worse shape. Hold on just a moment. Come on, David, you can move faster than that. We're just getting started. That was two of the three that I was waiting on. You didn't get a hold of the other one?
Pardon me?
You didn't get the hold of the third one?
Well, she's supposed to call me back. Right now she works. She's at work right now.
Oh.
I talked to her daughter yesterday and she's going to call me.
Let's hope she gets in before we get out of here. All right. Because I did share just a little with them. I haven't shared a whole lot about what is going to be taking place because I wanted, as I told you all yesterday when we were talking, that I wanted to be sure before I go to telling too much.
Yeah, right.
And I told them that I was hoping to get my answers today so that I could share it with them come Sunday morning.
Right.
Because come Sunday morning, I want to be able to tell all of you exactly what's going to be happening. All right. Right now we're in Romans chapter 9. As we come through chapter 8, we have found out, you know, I told Jill, all of you, I've told you before, my two favorite books of the Bible is Romans and Hebrews. They are both very strong books in the Word of God. And they both, they don't leave no room for guesswork when you really get into them and see it. And when you study God's Word and study it rightly, and a lot of people don't, and when I tell them about a good way of studying, a lot of them just want to laugh at me. Because you tell them, look, you can learn a whole lot more if you take them before you get into the Word of God. You go to God in prayer and ask Him to open up your heart and your mind to be receptive. And you ask Him for His guidance through the Holy Spirit, and He'll give it to you. And then, as you read, if you'll read slowly and read out loud, God will talk to you all the time you're reading. He'll reveal things to you. You won't get any other way. Oh, now, Pastor, that's not. Oh, yes, it is. Let me tell you, these last couple of weeks, I can really tell you, because I've been going through it. Because that's what brought me my problems. I wasn't spending enough time in prayer with Him, and I wasn't spending enough time in the study of His Word. That's exactly why Satan got to me with pleurisy and emphysema. And it was why God let me go through it, was to teach me a lesson. God corrects us, and He tells you He will. He don't tell you you're going to get off scot-free. He tells you He'll correct you. Because we are His children. If you are born again, you are God's child. And as we came through 8, we found out one thing you don't want to do is lie to God, nor one of his men. When you lie to a true man of God, a man that has been called into the ministry, a man that has been filled with the Holy Spirit, when you stand and you make promises to him and you don't keep them, you're going to pay a price, because you're not lying to that man. You're lying to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And the Word tells you just exactly that. It's in his Word. You see, that's why we all need to be in church. And we need to be there as often as we can be there. We have strayed so far away from what God's church was and what it was meant to be. Today, about 90% of our churches are having one service a week, Sunday morning. They talk daily. They didn't lock their doors. Because they was there, not only sharing the word of Almighty God, but they was there to help each other and to be of support. I've been talking about things you're going to be seeing here in this church. But you know, that don't come through just one. I've got two other ministers right here tonight with me. And if you really want to see the power of God, you put the three of us together in prayer, and you'll find more of the power of Almighty God. He tells you, where there's two or three of you gathered together, there I am in the midst. He'll answer one, yes, at times. But to really see the power of God, especially in the church, you want more than one. We're told in many, many ways just how short we are. Ananias and his wife both fell dead from lying to a man, they thought. A man just like you and I, Peter. They thought, well, you know, I can just tell Peter whatever. And when they sold their possessions and they kept back part of it, they told Peter a different story. Oh, I'm just lying to a man, so it'd be all right. He ain't going to know. But he did, didn't he? And both of them fell dead. And they were both told, why have you lied to the Spirit of Almighty God? Because, you see, that Holy Spirit was in Peter. Just like he's to be in me, he's to be in Kenny, and he's to be in Dennis. And if we're going to be the men of God that we are supposed to be, and walk with him, then we have to be filled with that Holy Spirit. And how would you like to preach? I'm going to share this with Kenny and Dennis. I did share this with you all yesterday, this part. How would you like to preach, Dennis? 50 almost 56 years. And then God tell you, your ministry is just now starting. And that's exactly what he did to me. He told me last week, your ministry is just now starting. 55 years I preached the gospel. 55 years I walked and preached as an evangelist where he put me. I pastored 9 churches. And I asked him, Lord, all this time, have I been preaching the wrong thing? He said, no. What you preach is about all right. But the Holy Spirit has been walking beside you. He wasn't in you. He said, your ministry is just now beginning. As I told you, at 2:30 this morning, again, he woke me up and kept me awake the rest of the night talking to me. And talking to me through the scripture, bringing scripture back to my mind that I had been reading the last few days and telling me, this you're going to be doing, that you're going to be doing, this you're going to be doing. But then to hear him tell you, now you've got the Spirit in you and your ministry after almost 56 years is just now beginning. I'll shake you up. That'll bring a lot of things to your mind. The ministry done a lot of good. He let me know that. There was a lot of good come out of it, but I wasn't doing and walking down the pathway he had ready for me. Because I wasn't ready for it. Because until we have that indwelling, infilling baptism of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, there's things that we miss. Book of James, he tells us about coming together. When he tells us there in the 5th chapter about, is any sick among you? What's he tell them to do? Call for who? The elders. Not one. The elders of the church. All of them. Let them anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. That's what it takes. And we've got so many preachers today don't want to do that. I want to do it my way. I want to do it on my own. Because I don't believe that way. 90% of those that are calling themselves Christian today cannot tell you what God meant when he said, rightly divide the word of truth. What do you mean by that? How do you rightly divide his word? I can tell you what most do. Most will take a verse here and a verse there and a verse over here, verse there. They'll sit down and take 2 or 3 days, twist and turn it to make it say what they want it to say. Well, we're just rightly dividing the word of truth. That wasn't what he meant. To rightly divide this word of truth is to know who he's talking to. So now, to rightly divide this, We've got Genesis 2, Moses' day. Then Moses, God gave the law to. And then we go from Moses to Malachi, which is the bridge between the old and the new. And then we got the four Gospels. And even those that printed the Bible got that wrong. I'm going to ask Dennis, because I see he's got his Bible with him. I've got mine here, and I know what mine says. So I'm going to ask Dennis, because I don't know which one he's got there. But Dennis, where does your Bible show you the New Testament starts?
Acts
40,
chapter
3. Huh?
Acts.
No, I mean page-wise.
Oh, page-wise.
My Bible has got a page just before the start of Matthew that says the New Testament.
Page 1195.
Just before Matthew, don't it? See that? It says New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not the New Testament. That is the four Gospels. Jesus was walking the earth. That's his and the apostles' teaching. And he was even obeying the law at the time Jesus was. Because up until his death and his resurrection, he was fulfilling the law. Because he came to fulfill it and to establish a new time, a new church age that is in his blood. And Dennis was right. That starts in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church age started. And when Jesus comes back for his church, that's when it will end. And then the tribulation will finish out, and then he's coming back to set up his thousand-year millennial reign here on this earth. That's the way you divide his word, is to know who he's talking to, where you're reading, and that's why we've got so much misuse of God's word today, is because so many does not know who he was talking to, and they're accepting the wrong thing. Just like Sunday morning, I had one of my family members here, good young man, trying hard. But he's in a church that don't baptize you right. But it's been taught to him so long, trying to get him to understand now is a job. Oh, no. No, Jesus said that, so it's got to be so. Jesus wasn't talking to this day, he was talking to those that were under the law. Because you see, he's also been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, oh, that's the way to do it. No, it's not. That's the wrong way to do it. When I do it that way, I'm going to take you in a dry center and bring you out a wet one. Because that was under the law. In the day and time that he sent his apostles out, that was right for them. But since the day of Pentecost, when Peter come out of that upper room preached one of the greatest sermons recorded in the Bible, and at the end of it, they asked him, what must we do? He told them, didn't he? And he told them, he said, go and repent. Most don't even know what the word repent means. They think, well, I can just go to the altar and tell Jesus, well, I'm a sinner, you know. That's all repentance is. No, it's not. Repentance means you do confess to Jesus. You ask him to forgive you. You ask him into your life. Then you get up and you walk away from that sin. You turn away from it. You don't stay and continue doing it. Look the word up. You can look it up in the dictionary. It'll tell you. A lot of words that we see and read in the Bible that we don't really look up, and so that we don't understand it. That's like I'm talked about, laughed about, ridiculed and everything else because I won't sit under a woman pastor. Oh, you're wrong. A woman can be a pastor. She can preach. You can't show me one place in this book, holy book, where God tells her she can preach. But I can sure show you place after place where he tells her no. 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter. First place he tells her that. Oh, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. No, I ain't wrong. Nope. I sure ain't. Let's just see how wrong I am. You know, a lot of you that's been with me for a while, you've heard. But it don't hurt to remind you again. Because we don't need to forget things. We do have a habit of that. But he tells you right here, 1 Timothy 2nd chapter, begin here with verse 9. Let's leave it all in setting. In like manner also that women, he even tells them how to dress, really. Adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. They read that verse. They don't take time to see what that word suffer means. S-U-F-F-E-R, suffer. Look it up in the dictionary. It means allow or permit. He's telling you right there. But I allow not nor permit a woman to teach, nor use authority over the man, but to be in silence. And then he goes on to tell you why. For Adam was first formed, and then he, like I say, he breaks it on down. But then, you know, that's not as strong as he even gets with it. But man don't want to look at these things. Mankind don't. Because, you see, he's got his own ways. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 14, we'll start here with verse 29. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, God ain't the one who causes confusion in the church. Man does enough of that. But of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Word? As in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. That's God's word, not mine. But yet look at the walls man's built today to divide mankind. Wall after wall after wall. They don't call them walls. They call them denomination. I don't belong to your denomination, so I can't talk to you. I can't have nothing to do with you. I'm Baptist, you're Methodist. Narcissus wasn't there on the front row. I can't have nothing to do with him, because when I met him, he was Catholic. I can't have nothing to do with you two, because you're Presbyterian. Well, the next one comes to the door, you know, I can't have nothing to do with him either, because he's Pentecostal. One down the street, I can't get with them either, because they're Church of God. Division. And God tells us not to do it. There is only one church, true church, and that is this, the word of Almighty God. And he tells you, if you come preaching any other thing than this, you're cursed. If they just going to pin you down and say, well, what's your denomination? I'm not. But if you want to know what I am, I teach God's word. And I teach the apostles' doctrine, the holy word of Almighty God. And that's exactly the wording that is used in his word. You've read it, I know. And I know Kenny has. It's time for us to wake up, stand up, be accounted, and get the truth of God's word out and work to bring these churches together in one accord and one mind. Because that's the only way they're going to make it to heaven. They ain't going to make it to heaven and find this little place over here. Well, now the Southern Baptists can be here. First Baptists, they want to be here. The General Baptists are going to be back here. The Independent Fundamental Baptists, they're going to be here. Now the Methodist is going to be here. Now this other class of Methodists, they're going to be here. No. That ain't going to work. And he tells you it won't. He's coming for his church. He don't like this kind of preaching, do he? Most don't. I don't like this kind of preaching. Pastor, you're mad to everybody. No, I'm not. I love mankind. And that's why I preach like I preach, because I'm going to preach the truth of God's word, because I do love you. And I want to see everyone make heaven their home. Amen. I don't want to see anyone be lost. God don't want to see anyone be lost. We know more is going to be lost than saved. Because we're told that. But that's not God's wish. But you're not a puppet. He gave you a choice. And you've only got two choices. You either choose to serve him or you choose to walk the ways of the world and Satan out here. It's your choice. You choose. You know, God don't send you to hell. I've had a lot of people tell me, "Oh, what do you mean God don't send you to hell?" He don't. He don't send you to hell. Now, he'll put you there because he said he would. But you send yourself there by the way you live your life here. We are here to get ready for eternity. And the way and who I follow, who I walk with, and whether I walk and live according to this word or not is my choice. Because God is there for me if I'm looking for him. And he'll help me in all of my ways if I walk according to his word and walk in obedience unto him. And he'll give me the tools I need to do whatever job he calls upon me to do. And just like with my two pastor buddies here, he'll give them the tools they need. But they got to choose to walk with him. And they've got to choose to walk in his word, not their minds, not what they think, not what they want to believe, but his will, his way, and his word. And when we do that, then we're his child. Think about it. Give you just a few minutes to think about it. And as I said earlier, I know there's some that should be in here working with me that has been here with me at times that will walk away from me when this change in this ministry takes place because they're not going to want to live by the word of God. And to them, I'm going to be a crackpot. But I'm not here to please mankind. I'm here to please Almighty God. And I'm here to do everything I can do to help mankind find the right way of walking. And the right way is by his word. You know, we've covered a lot of time. We ain't got too far in this ninth chapter. But I'm getting ready to close in a minute because after I close out, I do want all of you to stay here a minute because I do want to talk with you. I had said I was going to wait till Sunday morning, but since my other two showed up here because they're witnesses, I'll go ahead and share it with you too because you are ministers with me and both of you are ministers in this ministry. And you need to know what I'm going to be talking about. So we're going to get ready and close out for the day. And go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll spend about 10 to 15 minutes here together. And I pray we'll all be ready then for Sunday morning. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to share your word, Father, and to support each other. Help us, Father. Help us to walk in your word, to walk in the Spirit and the Spirit in us, always being pleasing unto you, Father. We ask for the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ to be upon each one of us, to give us that healing that is needed, to give us the strength, to give us the knowledge, to give us the wisdom that we are going to need in these coming days and time, Father. Now, Father, watch over us, keep us according to your will, and we ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless. All right. Let me get this thing shut off, because it don't need to be going out over here. Not just yet.